Rion, can you see the screen? Can you see the projection?
Yes, please. So I can see the screen and projection.
Okay, great. Thanks.
Good day, colleague. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Chair.
Good afternoon, Mama. Afternoon,
it's 3 o'clock. It's 3 o'clock, colleagues. I think all of us, we are in the meeting.
Yes, we are.
Let me take this opportunity to welcome my colleagues from Parliament and take this opportunity once more to welcome the department led by the Deputy Minister. Afternoon, I know most colleagues, they have been in the meeting from early in the morning, but it doesn't mean we are not going to work. We are going to work until late. Colleagues, you are welcome. Deputy Minister, you are welcome to our meeting and your team. I am not going to waste any time, colleagues, because work is too much. We have to work, Deputy Minister. We have to work. This is a very important department that you usually, we are focusing on it when it comes to job creation, when it comes to how they pollute air outside there.
We are losing you, Chair. We can't hear the chair.
Seconded, Nokso, Comrade Nokso. Seconded, Honorable Zol. Comrade Matibe? Honorable Matibe, can you take over, please, for the time being?
Mambibi, my apologies. Honorable Matibe is not on the platform yet.
Okay, is Mamgwenya around?
Mamgwenya is on the platform.
Can she take over this for the time being?
I think she's also having a bit of a connection. I think, Ms. Dongeni, you are audible and you have the link. Mambibi? Chairperson has sent me a message. Mambibi, she asks if you could just chair until she gets back her signal, please.
Okay. No, that's fine. I also have got the problem of the network, but I'll carry on up until everything becomes okay.
Please, my whip.
Okay, colleagues. Good afternoon, everyone. I think the chairperson has already opened the meeting, of which we can't waste time because I think our presentations are too long. And thank you for the minister and also the deputy minister and also your team. Through you, Minister, I would like to give you the platform. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Acting Chair. Is Deputy Minister here?
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Mam Sochu. Thank you. Welcome.
Thanks, Acting Chair, and good day to all honorable members. Chairperson, I'm joined by our Director General, Ms. Nomfundo Tshabalala, and all the DDGs responsible for different programs within the department, including our CFO. Chair, the department is here to present its 2021-22 annual performance as per your request. The annual performance plan is informed by our five-year strategic plan of the department, which we developed and tabled in Parliament for the 2019-2024 MTSF period. Without wasting any time, Chair, I will then through you give over to my Director General, Ms. Nomfundo Tshabalala, to take us through. Thank you very much, Chair.
Okay, thank you very much, Chairperson. So, Ms. Nomfundo Tshabalala, can you please carry on? And we want to hear all the presentations. Then when we are finished, then we'll ask questions after that. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. Good afternoon to the honorable members. As already introduced by the Deputy Minister, I am Nomfundo Tshabalala, the Director General of the Department. Honorable Chair, the outline of our presentation, next slide. I will cover the mandate of the department and also cover the five-year outcome per program. As already highlighted and by the Deputy Minister, our APP is aligned to our five-year strategy. So I am going to be talking to those points. And then on the next, it will be then the various DDGs in the department that will take the committee through their various areas of focus. However, we also want to emphasize that the three elements that were requested by the select committee to be emphasized on, and that covers local government challenges related to waste management and the potential to integrate this competency with the green economy initiatives of government. Also the involvement of the private sector. So the DDG for chemicals and waste management will cover that aspect when they present, when she presents her APP for the branch. The second part also, which critical for the committee, is local government challenges in relation to monitoring and management of air quality. In particular, air quality priority areas, mainly on the implementation phase of the Paris Agreement, and also implementation and opportunities for provinces and local government sphere. The DDG, when she presents for climate change and air quality, will cover this aspect in her presentation. The other third critical aspect that the committee also is interested in is the finalization of the development of the small scale commercial.
Are you still here? Okay.
Asuka, please mute your.
Yes, Asuka, we are still here.
Apologies.
Honorable Chair, the third part, which also we're going to emphasize on, is on the fisheries branch, and the acting DDG will talk to this around the development of small-scale commercial fisheries and the challenges around the fishing rights allocation and so on. as the DDGs also present the various ATPs for the various functions, they will also talk to service delivery indicators that we are committing ourselves to, Chair, as a department for the financial year 2021-22. The next slide, please, and the next slide. On the strategic overview, Chair, our statement of outcome as a department is derived from Section 24B of the Constitution, which states that all South Africans have a constitutional right to an environment that is not harmful to their health and well-being, and to have the environment protected for the benefit of the present and future generation. And this clearly articulates the environmental rights in terms of the Constitution, which then informs the department's mandate. And as a department, we are emphasizing, and this is outlined in our five-year strategy, so the mandate, vision, and mission is not has not changed. The mandate of the department is mainly to ensure the protection of the environment, conservation of natural resources, balanced with sustainable development, and the equitable distribution of benefits derived from natural resources. And we do this as a department, and we fulfill our mandate through mainly formulation, coordination, and monitoring and implementation of national environmental policies, programs, and legislation. Key is mainly the department's ultimate goal, which is expressed in the vision statement, where we would want a prosperous and equitable society living in harmony with our natural resources. And how we then do this, it's mainly through the mission statement, where as a department we provide leadership in environmental management, conservation, and protection towards sustainability for benefits of South Africans and the global community. In the next slide, Chair, we also are emphasizing on key consideration in the development of the 2021 ATP, which we are presenting today to the committee. And the first part is, as already outlined by the DM, is that we are continuing to align ourselves to our five-year strategic plan. And our five-year strategic plan is aligned to environment sector priorities that are outlined in government's 2019 to 2024 MTSF, which also is aligned to the 8 priorities of the 6th administration. The ATP that we are presenting today, Chair, has been developed within a context of constrained delivery environment since the COVID outbreak. And obviously, I think we, even going into the financial year 2021, with the threat of the third wave, we also need to ensure that we have risk measures in place to ensure that service delivery continues, even though the environment may be constrained. The other aspect that we are also highlighting is that this APP has been developed in the context of the declining economic climate. And as a result, like all other departments and already pronounced by National Treasury, we have had budget cuts for our budgets for the 2021 MTES. And this has resulted in reduction of operational budget and also employee budget, which is your cost of employees. Thirdly, Chair, we want to therefore, regardless of all the constraint, we are going to be focusing on implementation of presidential employment stimulus package and key interventions in line with the post-COVID-19 green economy recovery plan. also critical is that as a department, with the budget cuts, we have then ensured that we reprioritize and ensure that all critical interventions are funded, and we are focused on departmental priorities and also measures to address any negative socio-economic effects which may result as a result of the pandemic. In the next slide, Chair, we are highlighting at a high level the key government priorities for the SIFA administration, which are in our strategic plan, and how then as a department we've aligned ourselves to these priorities in terms of our departmental outcome and the key outputs, which then should be measurable on a year-to-year basis. Firstly, looking at investment, the government priority of investment, jobs, inclusive growth. As a department, we are going to be focusing on more decent job created and sustained. We also want to emphasize the focus on youth, women, and people with disability, which will be prioritized by the department. And in our outputs, this will be informed by implementation of the government expanded public works program for the environment sector. We are estimating 308,241 work opportunities that will be created until the end of the MTF. Coming to the focus on eradicating poverty, improving people's lives, as a department, we need to have improved access and fair, equitable, and improve access, fair and equitable sharing benefits in order to improve socio-economic condition. And this we will do through the environmental FAKISA programs. Related to that is then the sectors or the actual focus areas and initiatives. These will be in chemical and waste, biodiversity economy, and ocean and coast economy. And these various initiatives will be focusing on stimulating economic growth in respect of the subsectors of the environment, and also to facilitate employment creation, as indicated even in the earlier priorities. We would want to be prioritizing beneficiaries, women, young people, and people with disability. The other priority as a department that we are focusing on, government priority, is on education and skills for a changing world. And here, basically, we would want to improve level of environmental management education and awareness within communities, which drives positive behavior. And as a department, we are going to be carrying out skills development interventions and also training to various beneficiaries that are participating in environmental program. And our training will be SAQUA accredited, Chair. And by so doing, we are going to be focusing on a total number of 3,894 beneficiaries that will benefit from training programs with particular focus to women and young people. On social cohesion, which is a key government priority, and safe communities, the department will be dealing with the threats on environmental quality and human health mitigation. So we'll ensure that that is mitigated. One way is mainly through legislative instruments that we are going to be implementing to ensure that increased waste diversion from landfill sites across prioritized waste streams. We also are going to be focusing on phasing of hazardous chemicals to protect the environment and also promote human health, and also facilitate implementation of air quality management programs in order to ensure progressive realization of everyone's rights to air that is not harmful to health and well-being. And Chair, in the various programs, these are going to be expanded on by the DDG. The next one in the next slide is mainly also on social cohesion. And here as a department, it's pursuant of a just transition to low carbon economy and climate resilient society. We are going to be implementing climate change adaptation strategy intervention in order to build a climate resilient society. We will also be facilitating the development and implementation of a job resilient plan in various sectors, five sectors, mainly coal, agriculture, tourism, petrol-based transport, and metal. The next one, Chair, is on government priority on building a capable state that serves the people. And here, Chair, our focus will be on supporting local government sphere. In order for the local government sphere to be able to effectively execute its environmental management function. And I think here, Chair, there's quite a number of programs which will continue to carry out in partnership with local governments through the district delivery model. And that mainly focusing on greening programs as one of the programs, but also areas where we can partner with local government to improve service delivery and also increase development and create employment in a manner that doesn't harm the environment. Our main objective is by the end of the 2023-24 MTF, we would have had various programs in all 44 district municipalities. And lastly, Chair, overall, in terms of the government priority of better Africa and better world, as a department, we have a responsibility in implementation of international cooperative supportive environmental and also sustainable development priorities. As a department, we participate in key international and regional platforms, but also what's key is also then to ensure that those agreements are then implemented nationally, domestically. We also facilitate resource mobilization of funding those programs for environmental management. And that's going to be the focus in terms of our support and also our alignment to ensuring a better Africa and a better world. Now, Chair, we are going into the various programs. Chair, I'm going to request then the various DDGs to take the committee through the APPs in the various functions. The first program, we have the acting DDG, Mr. Rian Okam, who is going to take the committee through the APP for program one. With your permission, Chair, Rian will take the committee through.
Okay, thank you very much. Yes, you can carry on.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honourable Chairperson, Honourable Acting Chairperson, Honourable Deputy Minister and Honourable Members. Program one is the program for administration. It's a shared program between Corporate Management Services and the Chief Financial Officer. I will take us through this program as the Chief Financial Officer will later be presenting the department's budget. Our first slide deals with our five-year MTF outcomes, which are our key deliverables for the 5 years, which is the unqualified external audit opinion without any matter, 90% of overall expenditure from triple BEE compliant companies, 50% of women in senior management positions, and 2% people with disabilities in our department. DG reflected earlier on the 3,894 beneficiaries provided with skills development opportunities, as well as the 2,790 officials trained in environmental compliance and enforcement, which is technically a program 2 deliverable. On administration, our output indicators, the first one, external audit opinion, the target for 21-22 is an unqualified external audit opinion with 50% reduction in matters of emphasis, working towards the full external audit without any matter at the end of the NTSS. The percentage expenditure of the department's budget, 98%. Percentage of procurement of expenditure on triple BEE, black and women-owned enterprises, 90, which is the target, is 90% of overall expenditure from triple BEE compliant companies. And then in addition to that, 75% of expenditure from companies that are at least 50%, 51% owned by blacks and 50% women. The percentage with regard to vacancy rate, 8%. Percentage compliance to employment equity targets, which are two of them, as mentioned earlier, 50% women in SMS and 2% people with disabilities. With regard to our communication technology systems, we are this year having a target of 2 coordinated integrated permitting systems. The modules we want operational and maintained. The 2 are for environmental impact assessment and waste management licenses. Next slide, please. With regard to improved levels of environmental management and education and reaching out to communities, the number of events hosted, 13 events hosted, number of public education and awareness campaigns implemented on 4 thematic areas, which is 4 public education and awareness campaigns implemented. And we are going to focus on the following areas, which is climate change and biodiversity is the first area. The second area is environmental protection and waste management. The third area is the fishing rights allocation process. And the fourth area of focus will be the oceans pakisa, marine protection and sustainability. And we also aim to convene 20 stakeholder engagements during this period of this financial year. Then with regard to human resource capacity in the sector, we aim to hand out 100 bursaries issued, which are 40 full-time and 60 part-time bursaries. The number of officials trained in environmental compliance and enforcement, 370, working towards that 2,790 over the full MTSS. And then lastly, the last slide is dealing with our service delivery indicators, which measures how we deliver our services and what our service standards are. There are 3 areas there that we focus on. We've indicated 100% compliance to pay legitimate invoices from suppliers within 30 days. The second one is also 3 days to process queries from the presidential hotline, and we aim to reach 100% there. And then lastly, as per Parliament's requirements for parliamentary questions, which is 10 days to hand in and respond on our questions within Parliament. Thank you very much, Honourable Chairperson. That is Programme 1.
Thank you, Chair. Programme 2, Ms. Frances Craigie, We'll take the committee through program two, Chair. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Susie.
Thank you very much, Honourable Chair, Honourable Deputy Minister and Honourable Members. I will take the committee through regulatory compliance and sector monitoring branches input into the APP. So you can see on the slide currently in front of you is our five-year MTSF outcomes, and specifically they focus in on our compliance and enforcement work. So you will see with the first one over the five-year period, we're looking to facilitate 775 environmental authorization inspections in our key sectors, also to conduct 125 environmental performance assessments in regard to waste management facilities. We would finalize 214 criminal cases and ensure that those dockets are handed over to the National Prosecuting Authority for a decision. And then also over that five-year period to issue an estimated 1,100 administrative enforcement notices, such as compliance notices or directives for non-compliance with environmental legislation. Then if you go into the actual APP for 21-22 financial year, you will see that those are broken down for that year into the number of environmental authorizations inspected being 160, the number of environmental performance assessments for those waste facilities being 30. In that 21-22 financial year, we aim to finalize 40 criminal dockets and hand them over for prosecution. And we then also aim to issue 220 administrative enforcement notices. We will also be finalizing our national environmental compliance and enforcement strategy, as well as the implementation plan should be finalized and signed off by the end of 21-22. Then with regard to our Rhino Integrated Management Strategic Interventions, the plan for 21-22 is to really look at certain interventions around engagements with transit and destination countries, specifically those, for example, in China, Vietnam, Malaysia, et cetera. We would then also look at some biological interventions in terms of increasing rhino populations and specifically develop the rhino population data management system in that current financial year. And then also the target is to look at 65 inspections conducted for the verification of rhino horns and elephant tusk stockpiles, and that is across South Africa. If you move to the next slide, having a look at our environmental management and regulatory frameworks, you'll see that we have two indicators here, the number of NEMA legislative tools developed, and there we aim to ensure that we finalize the financial provisioning regulations for the mining sector and ensure that we gazette those for implementation. And then when it comes to the number of interventions for streamlining environmental authorizations, we're looking at two interventions here, and that is the minimum requirements for the submission of EIAs for shale gas installations. We're hoping by the end of this year to gazette those for comment, and then also to gazette for comment the amended electricity grid infrastructure standards. Then the last slide for program two then sets out our service delivery indicators. You can see there the first one looks specifically at our complaints and incidents hotline. So that is the environmental crime hotline where we have non-compliances that are reported to that hotline. We then have a referral protocol to respond to them through compliance and enforcement action within a certain time period. And we're looking at a target of 95% for the national department's environmental management inspectors to then respond through compliance or enforcement action. And then the next two relate to our environmental impact management or our EIA applications. And you will see there for priority projects, there's a time frame of 45 days, and we're looking at 100% target there. And then the percentage of national environmental impact management applications within the stipulated time frame. And there you can see those are for SEA, or the Strategic Environmental Assessment Corridors, there's a service standard of 57 days, and then for other applications, 107 days, and our target, again, for those two is 100%. Thanks very much, Honourable Members.
Thank you, Chair. With your permission, I'm going to request DDG Judy Billman to take the committee through Program 3.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you, DG. Thank you, Honourable Chair, Honourable Acting Chair, and Honourable Members. I will start with the five-year outcomes for Program 3, which is on oceans and coasts. So firstly, we have 3,950 jobs created through implementation of the Ocean Economy Program. Secondly, improved water quality with reduction of contaminants from heavy industry, the agriculture sector, and maritime transport. Thirdly, biodiversity management plans published for implementation, and those relate to penguins and sharks. Fourthly, our Antarctic strategy implemented to achieve strengthened institutional coordination, expanded research scope, optimized geographical advantage, improved public awareness, and enhanced international relations. And then finally, three relief voyages to South Africa's national, as part of South Africa's National Antarctic Program, to Antarctica, which is the Sanai base, to Gough, and to Marion Islands. Next slide. Honourable Members, then we have a number of output indicators and annual targets. So in respect of jobs created as part of Ocean Economy, there we have 1,200 jobs as our annual target, and those relate to the aquaculture sector. In terms of the water quality monitoring program, we are aiming to deliver water quality trends reports for 30 priority areas in 4 coastal provinces. In respect of marine spatial planning, we will have the marine spatial plans, the sector plans finalized for the Southern Marine Area Plan. In respect of marine protected areas, we will have 2 management plans for declared marine protected areas finalized. In respect of biodiversity management plans, we will have the African penguins and plan published for implementation and the draft sharks biodiversity management plan developed. For our estuary management strategy, we will have the annual action plan for estuary management plans for the estuaries, Buffalo Estuary, Richards Bay, Orange River Estuary, Buffalo, Durban Bay, Richards Bay, and Orange River Estuary. And we will also have our Antarctic strategy implemented in terms of the annual implementation plan. Under our strengthened science for marine protected areas, we will have a research study on an additional 5% of the ocean and coastal area for protection, and that study will have been conducted. We will have 20 peer-reviewed scientific publications compiled. We will have 3 relief and science voyages to the various remote stations completed, and we will have our annual report card on key essential ocean and coast variables published. In respect of our service delivery indicators, we will have the percentage of applications for permits for marine research permits, 100% concluded, 100% of our off-road vehicle permits concluded, 100% of our dumping permits concluded, and 95% of the permits for activities within marine protected areas concluded. Thank you, Honourable Chair, Honourable Acting Chair, and Honourable Members.
Thank you, Chair. Our next program is Program 4, and DDG Dr. Tuli Khumalo will take the committee through Program 4's APP.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, DG. Thank you, Honorable Members. Thank you, DM.
Let me start with the MGSF outcomes for the 5-year period. We have climate change mitigation interventions undertaken to facilitate implementation of our low emissions development strategy and to reduce greenhouse gas emissions. We also have the national equality indicator. When it is equal to or less than one, it indicates compliance with the national ambient equality standards. We also have 80 equality monitoring stations reporting to the South African Equality Information System, which is hosted by the South African Weather Services, meeting minimum data recovery standard of 75%. We publish also the State of Environment Impact Assessment Report. And we've got the local government support interventions implemented in line with the district delivery model. Next slide. In terms of our annual targets in relation to the just transition to a low carbon economy and climate resilient society, we want to implement a climate change mitigation intervention to facilitate the LED that has been approved by Cabinet. And in this financial year, we have the carbon budget allocation methodology, which we need to develop and submit for approval to Cabinet. We also have the framework for development of allocation of sectoral emission targets for the environmental sector to be submitted and approved by Cabinet as well. We also have the framework for development and allocation of sectoral emission targets, all other sectors that need to be developed, which is energy, transport industry, and human settlements. We have the number of jobs, sector jobs resilience plans developed and implemented. And in this financial year, we want to develop 4 proposals for funding for this resilience plan, which the DG has indicated in her opening remarks. We also look to table the climate change bill, the draft bill, to Parliament so that the process to approve the bill can be initiated. Next slide. And as part of the adaptation work, we have to implement interventions of the South African Climate Change Adaptation Strategy. And in this regard, we have 5 climate change adaptation interventions to be implemented. At Overberg and Amatole, we have climate resilience of coastal communities, ecosystems and small-scale fishers. At Mvembe District, we have the rebuilding resilience and reducing vulnerability of smallholder farmers. In Zululand, we have community-based adaptation in the Mkuze River ecosystem. And at Sekhukhune, we have sustainable land use management projects in Kruger to Canyon's Bayesian region. Umgungundlovu, we have integrated climate change-driven multi-hazard early warning systems. We also have 5 climate change adaptation sector plans to be implemented. The first one is in agriculture, where it is a policy analysis on climate smart agriculture. We have a coastal one, which is the 4 district municipalities to be trained on coastal risk and vulnerability tools. Biodiversity side, we have biodiversity and ecosystem sector climate change response plan to be updated. For the water sector, we have a manual for climate change risk and vulnerability assessment developed for 9 catchment management areas. And for the tourism sector, we have climate change and vulnerability assessment for 5 sites in the tourism sector developed. Next slide. In relation to the national equality indicator, as I indicated, it's a policy indicator, overall policy indicator that measures the work that we have done as national, provincial and municipal governments. If it's equal to or less than 1, it means a compliance. We also have this one that DG also reflected on the opening remarks around the equality monitoring stations, reporting to the SACRIS and meeting minimum data recovery. We are planning to have 70 in this financial year. We can obviously add the data that is also measured from privately owned stations because it is available in our system. We also, in terms of the sector monitoring and evaluation studies and reports to be published, we have the State of Environment report that is now web-based, and we have the information for the year 2021 approved and published on the web as well. In relation to the international cooperation to support our environmental and sustainable development treaties, we have 7 positions approved, 2 for climate change in this financial year, which is the United Nations Framework Convention on Climate Change, UNFCCC, for the COP26 to be held in Glasgow. And it is the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, IPCC. We have 3 biodiversity positions. One is the Ramsar Conference of Parties, COP14, Convention on Biological Diversity, COP15, in the United Nations Convention to Combat Desertification, COP15 as well. And then the next slide, please. The next one is 2 for the chemicals and waste management, which is the Montreal Protocol and the Minamata Convention on Mercury. In terms of financial resources to be raised from international donors to support our domestic work and African environmental programs, we have a total of $50 million to be raised this year. And we, for the updated nationally determined contributions, which they are now, the document has been approved by Cabinet, which is out of public comment. We are looking to conclude this document and get it approved by Cabinet for submission to the NFCCC before the COP26. For the number of local government support interventions to be implemented in line with the digital delivery model, we have 2 interventions. First is to ensure that the priorities are incorporated in the IDPs of 44 municipalities, and to ensure that we train 300 municipal councillors or officials so that they can understand their environmental management function and implement with ease. And we do have service delivery indicators in the branch. In this case, we have the atmospheric emission licenses, whose legislated time frame is 60 days after the issuing of a positive ROD. Our plan is to conclude all these applications within the specified regulatory time frame. But I must just indicate that these are the applications that the minister is responsible for. There are still AELs that are processed by provinces and district municipalities and metros in some instances. I think that's the last slide. Thank you, PM.
Thank you very much, Chair. We are now on Program 5, and DDG Shonisani Munzezi will take the committee through the APP for Program 5.
Thank you very much, DG. Honourable Chair, Honourable Members, Deputy Minister, in the MTSF period, the biodiversity and conservation component of the department will prioritize the land under conservation, the increase in that number. Most of these areas are in rural areas and present opportunities for expanding employment and other related activities in the value chains. The other area would be the declaration of 2 national parks. At the moment, one has already been declared, and there's one that is still coming through the pipeline. The state-managed protected areas that we have now at the moment will continue to assess their management effectiveness to make sure that at least 87% at bare minimum have a management effectiveness score of above 67%. There's also a strong focus on the area of strategic water sources, given that South Africa is the water scarce country, focusing on wetlands, the National Wetlands Management Policy to be developed, and also that the wetlands of international significance would be designated, and strategic water sources in the countries be secured through legislative and other means. The National Environment Management Biodiversity Act bill to be promulgated. And then the other area of importance and focus is the biodiversity economy, which then would focus on bioprospecting areas of land that will be cultivated with indigenous species that are useful for either cosmeceutical or nutraceutical purposes or pharmaceutical purposes, and working with the partners in DSI and DTI initiatives to advance bioproducts in the country. And in support of previously disadvantaged individuals or communities, the donation of game to those that qualify. Next slide. In qualifying all of these, there are percentages and the hectares of land identified for conservation or increase. That figure of 14.7% is likely to be adjusted even upwards during the midterm adjustment. The management effectiveness would then move from 81% to 83%, ensuring that provinces and other management entities and national entities responsible for biodiversity and conservation and protected areas are supported and improve in their management effectiveness in this regard. One big issue is to find an option and a model for rationalization of protected areas. All these state-managed protected areas managed by different entities, government departments at provincial level, at national level, want that harmonized in terms of how we deal with governance, administrative issues, capacity, financial sustainability, operations, and the like. When it comes to the interventions associated with strategic water sources, as I indicated, the National Wetlands Management Framework finalized, joint as it will be, involving the departments responsible for agriculture and responsible for water, and also identifying the measures to secure strategic water sources after delineation and mapping of these different areas so that they are properly protected. The issue of financial sustainability, for the first time, we'll have a biodiversity conservation resource mobilization plan for the sector, for the conservation and biodiversity sector, and also have funding proposals, bankable proposals for prioritized areas or subsectors in the sector itself. Move on to the next slide. When it comes to managing threats, we'll have legislative tools that are going to be implemented. And those legislative tools, some of them are aligned to the higher level panel findings and recommendations. The first thing would be the draft white paper on conservation and sustainable use. That process will be initiated. And the biodiversity management framework, which is a legislative requirement, will then be submitted to cabinet for approval. At the moment, it has been published for public comment. The area around land degradation, desertification, and drought will be an area of priority, making sure that we implement the national action program for the country. Would need to identify bankable projects, proposals that have to be subjected to resource mobilization and be supported at a local level in the process of implementation. We'll then also look at other areas of the high-level panel recommendations implemented through the annual action plan that will follow. And part of that program of implementing the high-level panel recommendations will be to provide a statement of intent or minister's position, policy position statement that would qualify the intention and what the country will do moving forward as informed by the findings and the recommendations of the high-level panel. Next slide. The other area in protecting species would be through biodiversity management plans. Some of the plans would be reviewed for white rhino, for black rhino, for lion. They've gone through their time every 5 years or so. They need to be reviewed, so that review will be done. for aloe and honeybush in protecting these species while being subjected to sustainable use. They will be approved, been developed. They need to go through the whole process of approval and implementation. And the new one for leopard, the whole process, the process will then be initiated in that regard. When it comes to biodiversity economy initiatives, as I indicated, the hectares of land for indigenous species and the training for biodiversity beneficiaries, most of it being training that is accredited in a number of areas, including business management, game management, and many other skills that are required for success in biodiversity economy. And game, the heads of game donated to BDIs, 5,000, and also areas around biodiversity economy nodes, which are integrated nodes in different provinces, three per year. This time around in this APP, again, three more, supported also by feasibility studies in three nodes, and operational plans so that this can be supported in implementation. The next slide. The EPWP or non-EPWP jobs that need to be created through biodiversity economy, 800 in this regard, a number of EPWP-based jobs that are reported in another program, the environmental program, as it will be reported later on. We'll continue to support those communities that are holders of indigenous knowledge in their signing and looking at the fairness in their signing of the benefit sharing agreements with private sector as they access the resource for the development of whatever that needs to be developed from a bioprospecting perspective. As five in this regard. In terms of service delivery indicators, 100% on both when it comes to international trade and also when it comes to national trade related permits affecting species of concern in the country. Thank you very much, DG, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members and Deputy Minister.
Thank you very much, Chair. We now are on program six, and DDG Nhlanhlam Khize will take the committee through the APP for environmental programs. Thank you.
Thank you, DG. Good afternoon, Chair, honorable members, Deputy Minister and colleagues. The five-year targets for environmental programs are centered on the what the DG referred to earlier when she mentioned as part of her opening that the department contributes to the creation of jobs through the expanded public works program model. So in this regard, the department will create over the 5-year period 140,454 full-time equivalents through 308,241,000 work opportunities through mainly in implementing natural resource management and environmental protection and infrastructure programs. The department will also ensure that in implementing its portfolio through the expanded public works program model, that 169,533 young people benefit through work opportunities and also training that comes in that regard. Over the 5-year period, the department will also ensure that 76,258 participants benefit from accredited training programs that are critical for unlocking alternative pathways in terms of sustainable livelihoods. The department will also clear just above 3 million hectares of invaded land, and this constitutes both initial and follow-up clearing of invasive alien species or invasive alien plants. We will also, over the 5-year period, focus on rehabilitating 541 wetlands and 2,116 kilometers of accessible coastline will be cleaned. And as part of the department's contribution to integrated fire management, we'll ensure that we suppress 90% of wildfires. Next slide, please. The outcomes of environmental programs are mainly located in terms of our contribution or our mandate in terms of creation of decent jobs, the rehabilitation of ecosystems, integrated fire management, which I mentioned earlier, and also infrastructure adaptation and disaster risk reduction. So in terms of decent jobs, the five-year target for the 21-22 financial year, is that we will create 31,243 full-time equivalents, both from EP environmental programs and also a contribution from our fisheries branch. The number of work opportunities that will be created in the financial year 21-22 is 66,432, of which 60% will be women, 55% will be youth, and also 2% for people living with disabilities. The number of participants, which I spoke to earlier, for the 21-22 financial year, participants on accredited training programs that are declared competent will be 13,844. In terms of the department clearing land that is invaded by invasive land plant species, 165,980 is allocated for initial training. Initial clearing, and also for follow-up clearing of invasive alien species invaded land, it will be 521,000. The department in the 21-22 financial year will rehabilitate 100 wetlands and also target 250 species of or descriptive populations of emerging invasive alien species. This is critical for us as a country to invest in, to make sure that we do not wait until alien plants in particular become invasive or problematic. So we actively identify those that have potential to invade and detect them and also implement rapid response. In terms of the number of kilometers of coastline cleaned, it's going to be 2,116 kilometers. Our contribution, as indicated earlier, in terms of suppressing wildfires, it's 90% of wildfires detected that will be suppressed. As far as our contribution in terms of environmental protection and infrastructure programs, we work closely with our biodiversity and conservation branch, mainly focusing on constructing biodiversity economy infrastructure facilities. So the target for the 21-22 financial year is 20. The number of overnight visitor and staff accommodation units targeted for 21-22 financial year is 15, and the number of coastal infrastructure facilities constructed or renovated is 7. Our contribution in terms of the infrastructure, the adaptation, is key in terms of the period that we are in as far as revitalizing the economy and enabling or contributing to the tourism sector playing its role in local economies. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chair. Our next program, Program 7, DDG Mamohala Musekene is going to take the committee through APP for Chemicals and Waste Management. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson, members, Deputy Minister. In terms of the five-year medium-term strategic framework outcomes, the first one is on the finalization of the mercury management plan. And as part of that, the phase out of 4 mercury-containing products, which are thermometers, compact fluorescent lamps, batteries, and the cosmetics that contain mercury. And the other area that we'll be focusing on chemicals management is the phase out of the 14 industrial persistent organic pollutants products. Also, we're going to be reducing the consumption of the hydrochlorofluorocarbons by 50%. And moving into the waste area, we are planning to ensure that 30% of waste that is generated is diverted from our landfill sites. We are aiming to ensure that 50% of the waste tires that are generated are diverted through recycling and energy recovery from our landfill sites. We are also intending to ensure that we have a waste economy master plan that has been approved based on the PAKISAs that we've undertaken from 2017. We also intending to ensure that 5,500 jobs are created linked to the PAKISA.
the next slide. Just to indicate that on the mercury management plan, we are aiming that it be adopted in this financial year, linked to the Minamata Convention. And these 11 POPs, persistent organic pollutants, we are aiming to phase them out by the end of March of this financial year. And in terms of the hydrofluorocarbon consumption, we are aiming to reduce that by 40%, which is 2,056 tons that we are aiming to work on. And because there was a specific request just to emphasize the waste management challenges that are faced by local government, I think this is an area that I would want to start speaking to some of them, given that in the year that ended in March, we have put together environmental policy, which we call extended producer responsibility, focusing on three prioritized products, the three being paper, packaging, and some single-use products, electrical and electronic waste products, as well as lighting. So given that generally in local government, there are issues with regard to management of different waste streams, particularly linked to these prioritized waste streams, we've set up a system where it will alleviate the burden that sits with local government. The other challenge that I'm wanting to make, I have noted that under Program 4, that's where the entire department manages the local government interventions, but just to emphasize what is being done linked to waste management is the support on the development of municipal integrated waste management plans. So these municipal waste management plans will also be integrated as part of the IDPs of municipalities to influence the funding for waste-related matters, including the fleet for the collection of waste, as well as some of the infrastructure assets that are used at landfill disposal sites. One area that we would be supporting municipalities on is linked to the norms and standards for organic waste treatment. Although this is done generally for all the generators of organic waste, but with a specific emphasis that usually this organic waste finds itself in municipal landfill sites, but we've been working with industry and the South African biogas industry of South Africa, the association, in terms of finalizing this nonsense standards, because that would enable the industry to be able to generate biogas with ease without the unnecessary administrative burden. The next item talks to the green public procurement strategy for stimulating demand on construction and demolition waste. We've noted that most municipalities, the key waste stream that is found illegally dumped in most of the areas is the construction and demolition waste. And we are working together with the DTIC, the construction sector, as well as the National Treasury to ensure that we use a green public procurement to stimulate that demand through the finalization of this strategy. The other area relates to food losses. We've noted that the other waste stream that also is huge in terms of what gets to our landfill sites is generated from the food. We are working with the Department of Agriculture there, together with the Consumer Goods Council of South Africa, as well as DTIC, because agro processing has also been shown to be able to minimize the amount of food waste that can be generated. The other area that I need to emphasize is on the industry waste management plan for waste tires, which we are intending to finalize in this financial year. We know that tires historically have been found dumped in other areas, but also as the department, we have put a regulation that we don't need to have tires going to our landfill sites for purposes of landfilling, unless if they are being stored there. So the industry now is paying the levy, and that levy is being utilized for storage and the processing of waste tires. So that plan is being finalized, given that there have been issues with regard to the processing. Some of the companies have closed down, and that has led to a low processing rate in the country. But we are working with the industry to look into how to stimulate the uptake of waste tires. Next one, I've mentioned that in this year that ended in March, we've finalized the regulations together with the notices for the three sectors, paper and packaging, e-waste and lighting waste. And already these targets are part of the implementation that have been set in the regulations. So we will be monitoring that. And this also calls for working closely with municipalities in terms of ensuring that there are facilities, either sorting and collection points that are located in respective areas. That would also be supported by the private sector, because they are the manufacturers or the polluters, and they need to be held responsible for managing their waste. And the waste tire also, as part of the finalization of the plan, it would be diverted according to the 23% that we have put forward. Just to indicate that with regard to the waste economy master plan, we do have the PAKISA that was established. And in terms of that PAKISA, there were other initiatives. Specifically, I want to talk to the separation of waste at source, wherein the private sector through the extended producer responsibility is able to have the interface and support the collection of those prioritized products, in this case, packaging and the electrical and electronic waste. And also from the PAKISA, the establishment of material recovery facilities and plastic pelletization plants, given the issue of plastic pollution that has been raised widely. Moving to the next one, there are jobs also, jobs that are targeted to be created from the PAKISA, which arise from the various initiatives that are under the PAKISA that we will be monitoring in this year. The next one is the service delivery indicators. Next slide, in terms of the work that we are doing with regard to the processing of waste license applications. And our target there is 95%, and the standard is 107 days. And with regard to land remediation, in terms of land that has been contaminated, our target is 90%, and we aim to finalize that within 90 days. Thank you.
Thanks. Thank you, Chair. Our next program, Program 8, Acting DDG, Murungwa Liseke, is going to take the committee through forestry management. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, DG. Good afternoon, Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Members, Deputy Minister and colleagues. The following are the key outcomes for the branch. 5,400 hectares of temporary unplanted areas will be planted to reduce the land that is lying fallow in state plantations. will also be putting 8,400 hectares under silviculture through weeding, pruning, coppice reduction and thinning. We will be refurbishing 15 tree nurseries. We'll be creating 12,000 jobs in the sector, and this in line with the commercial forestry sector master plan. We'll develop and implement the post-settlement support strategy. And the next one is the 15 state indigenous forest management units will be mapped. We'll also be rehabilitating 1,100 hectares in state indigenous forests by clearing alien invasive species. 5 state indigenous forests will be transferred to conservation authorities. We'll be planting 1.950 million trees outside forests, and this is in line with the department's greening plan. The last one will publish annual list of protected trees in line with the National Forest Act. Next slide. When it comes to the indicator on the number of hectares to be planted under in our plantations, will be the target is to plant 1,800 hectares to address the issue of timber shortage. The next indicator that deals with a silviculture practice, the target is to tender to 2,100 hectares. The indicator relating to the number of nurseries to be refurbished, the target is 4 nurseries. One is Woosley in the Western Cape, Bloemhof in the Northwest, Resplas in Limpopo, and the last one in Kwakwa. When it comes to the outcome on a transformed forestry sector in line with the master plan, the number of hectares approved for afforestation, the target is to scope and identify land suitable for development, that is for afforestation. We'll be creating 4,000 jobs. When it comes to the number of plantations to be handed over to communities, the target is to hand over 3. That is 1 in Limpopo and 2 in the Eastern Cape. When it comes to the post-settlement strategy, the target is to make sure that the strategy is approved. The next indicator relates to mapping of state indigenous forest. The target is to map 5 forest management units in this financial year. We'll also be rehabilitating 200 hectares. We'll also be transferring 1 forest management unit of state indigenous forest. When it comes to the national field and forest fires legislation, the target is to make sure that the bill is tabled in parliament. Next slide. The indicator on the business models for plantation development. This, honorable members, is to address the issue of the exit areas in the Western Cape. The target is to enter into a lease agreement for management of exit plantations in the Western Cape. When it comes to the number of trees outside forests, in line with the greening plan of the department, we are targeting to plant 654,000 trees, which will be made out of fruit trees, aesthetics, and medicinal trees. And this is to take care or to address the social and environmental needs of our society. The indicator relating to the annual list of protected trees will be publishing 1 list. The next slide. When it comes to the service catalog, we have the indicator on the licenses that has to be issued. The service standard is for us to issue that within 30 days. And the target is to make sure that we do not deviate and that we stick to the set time frame. When it comes to the percentage on fire protection associations registered, the turnaround time is 90 days, and the target is to make sure that we stick to that. Thank you very much, DG.
Thank you very much, Chair. Our last program before our finances is Program 9 on Fisheries Management. Acting DDG, Sue Middleton, will take the committee through this program.
Thanks, DG. Good afternoon, Honourable Chair, Honourable Members and Deputy Minister. The first slide looks at the fisheries branch's five-year commitments and outcomes. But just before I start with that slide, fisheries was asked to elaborate on a number of areas, including small-scale fishing rights, the allocation of commercial fishing rights, or what is known as FRAP, aquaculture, as well as inland fisheries. And I'll deal with that in more detail when we come to the annual targets. So in terms of the five-year outcomes, we aim to amend and promulgate amendments to the Marine Living Resources Act and regulations. Marine Living Resources Act is a fairly old piece of legislation and does need reviewing. And this will be a target in the next financial year. Then we aim to promulgate the Aquaculture Development Act and regulations. We need to amend, review and approve a number of fisheries management policies, many of them dealing relating to FRAP. We want to approve, to have the inland fisheries management policy approved by Cabinet this year. We need to review and develop new revenue streams for the Marine Living Resources Fund, which is our Schedule 3A public entity. And we also need to review and have various fees approved. We, in terms of FRAP, there are 12 commercial sectors where rights are expiring. I'll expand on that in a little bit more detail in the next slide. And we need to allocate fishing rights in 12 commercial sectors by the 31st of December 2021. We aim to conduct 5,500 inspections in the six priority fisheries, namely hake, abalone, rock lobster, lionfish, squid, and pelagics. We aim to conduct 290 investigations of right holders per annum. We would like to set up and ensure that 10 individuals and or entities are benefiting from a small-scale aquaculture support program, and that 147 small-scale fishing cooperatives are allocated fishing rights. I'll expand on that a little bit more. And that 147 small-scale fishing cooperatives are benefiting from an integrated development support program for small-scale fishing cooperatives. All right. Just prior to take a step back and to perhaps put small-scale and FRAP in context, South Africa has three fishing sectors, namely the commercial sector, the small-scale sector, and the recreational sector. In terms of the commercial sector, we have 22 commercial fisheries in South Africa currently, and 12 sectors rights are expiring or have actually expired in December 2020 and have reverted back to the state for reallocation. In terms of small scale, they are being allocated or are in the process of being allocated 15-year rights, and the rights are allocated to small scale fishing cooperatives. And then any, in terms of the recreational sector, any South African citizen over the age of 12 is entitled to fish on an annual recreational permit, which they can purchase at a nominal fee from the South African Post Office. So in terms of the first outcome, which is the effective and enabling regulatory framework for the management and development of marine and freshwater living resources in oceans, coasts, rivers, and dams. And there we will be wanting to review a number of fisheries policies related and connected to the FRAP process. That includes the general policy on the allocation of commercial fishing rights,
the 12 sector-specific policies on the allocation of fishing rights, where rights have expired and will be reallocated this year. We also need to review and update the policy on the transfer of commercial fishing rights, in other words, how you sell or trade in shares once you've been allocated a right. And we need to review the FRAP application fees, the levies, harbour fees, and the grant of right fees. And then, as I've said, by the 31st of December, we will be reallocating fishing rights that have expired in 12 commercial fishing sectors, and that needs to be done by 31 December 2021. Then in 2010, the fisheries branch also was given the mandate of inland and freshwater fisheries. At the moment, there is no regulatory framework for the management of freshwater and inland fisheries, and we are busy developing a policy to regulate the sector. It's in quite far in an advanced stage, and we will be submitting it to Cabinet this year for approval. We also need to amend and review and update and look at new revenue streams for the Marine Living Resources Fund. In terms of aquaculture, again, the aquaculture sector is a relatively new sector in South Africa. It's a fast-growing sector. And there we intend to conduct 4 aquaculture research studies in order to improve the competitiveness and sustainability of the aquaculture sector. We also want to support a number of aquaculture projects, 4 projects in production phase under Operation Pakisa. I should also mention that aquaculture projects are included in the Oceans Economy Master Plan, which was presented as Program 3. And there, the main focus is currently to preserve the number of jobs in the aquaculture sector. Originally, we intended to grow the number of jobs, but we've had to revise that figure downwards. The reason for that is that the aquaculture sector typically exports all its product to the east. And with the COVID-19 particularly impacting on the import of live animals to China, the aquaculture sector has lost a lot of market. And there we're aiming to reopen the markets and to protect the existing jobs and to prevent job losses. Thank you. Next slide. In terms of a well-managed fisheries and aquaculture sector that improves and sustains economic growth and development, there we are aiming to conduct 5,500 inspections this year and every year in the 6 priority fisheries, namely hake, abalone, rock lobster, lionfish, squid, and pelagics. We will be investigating 290 right holders to make sure that they are compliant. And we will be revising and finalizing the National Plan of Action on sharks. In terms of socioeconomic conditions for fishing communities improved, here we are looking at 4 projects benefiting under the aquaculture support program. Then in terms of the small scale sector, I mentioned that we have allocated fishing rights for 15 years in 3 of the coastal provinces. The Northern Cape has been had fishing rights for 2 years now. And we managed to allocate 15 years fishing rights to cooperatives in the Eastern Cape and KZN just before the national lockdown last year. However, in the Western Cape, where we anticipate that there will be about 31 small-scale cooperatives that still need to be registered, there has been contestation around the list that was published, and communities in the Western Cape approached the minister arguing that the final list that was approved by the previous minister is flawed, in that there are some fishers who have been recognized as bona fide fishers, but who do not have who do not meet the criteria, whereas there are others who should be on the list who were excluded. The minister commissioned an independent audit of the Western Cape list. The audit finding is that there were fundamental flaws with the process in the Western Cape, particularly around the role of the service provider, and that based on a legal opinion that the minister obtained, she has now approached the Western Cape High Court to have the process in the Western Cape set aside and to restart that. And as part of that, this financial year, we would be looking to finalizing the list in the Western Cape and to registering what we anticipate to be in the region of 31 cooperatives in the Western Cape. We would also be looking to develop an integrated development support strategy for small-scale fishers. We realize that the small-scale sector is not going to succeed unless they receive comprehensive support from various role players and government departments, from training to infrastructure support to capacity building to mentorships and so on. And then lastly, we would want to pilot an alternative livelihood strategy in two coastal communities. The aim there is to reduce dependency on fish resources and look to other livelihood strategies in coastal communities. Next slide. In terms of our service delivery indicators, the first two are very similar. We aim to deal with 95% of all permit applications and regulation permits within 7 working days. We aim to process 95% of all applications for exemptions within 21 working days. And we aim to process 95% of all applications for permits import fish under full rebate of duty within 60 working days. This is a longer turnaround time because that is a more complicated permit. It's also a permit that belongs with Customs and Excise, in other words, SARS, but the DG has various delegations in terms of the Customs and Excise Act to grant rebates for import of fish. With that, I thank you as members.
Thank you, Chair. This brings us to the end of all programs in the department. Chairperson, we will be guided by yourself in relation to whether we can continue with the next presentation on the budget or we pose here for the committee to pose questions. We'll be guided by yourself and the committee, Chair. Thanks, DM.
Okay. Okay, thanks. Okay, thanks, DG. I think you just continue with the budget because that's the main thing that, I mean, the committee wants to know and hear about it. Let us, I mean, going to it, and please make sure that, because we need time as a committee to interrogate all these presentations that you have, if you can just quickly go into it. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chair. I think the CFO will be quick. I will hand over to our Chief Financial Officer, Mr. Ranoy Sedumo, to take the committee through our budget allocation for the next 3 years. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson, and the members of the committee, and GM, DG, for the opportunity to present the budget for the 2021-22 and the MTF period. Can we go to the next slide, please? Chairperson, the budget of the department, as shown here by the line on the total allocation for the 2021-22 financial year, the budget is 8.7 billion, and that budget would grow to 8.8 billion in the next financial year, and then in the outer year, it is 8.9 billion. The issue, Chairperson, of the analysis on this slide that we would like to bring to the attention of the committee, it's the fact that the baseline budget allocation of the department over the MTF period is reducing by 7% in the 2021-22 financial year, and then in the next year, 9%, and then it's also reducing the outer year by 10%. This in overall means that as a department, we are facing the challenge, and we know that the reduction in budget is caused by the current fiscal environment that we're facing as a country, and which is a challenge that is facing all organizations throughout the world due to COVID and the economic conditions that we're facing. What this means, Chairperson, and our understanding of it is that we need to make sure as a department that the scarce resources at our disposal are then directed where they would have the greatest impacts on the statutory mandate of the department. That is the key issue of this reduction that we are facing. And we also would like to bring to the attention of the committee that the baseline reduction that we are seeing here, it affects the compensation of employees. It also affects our public entities' allocations. And we are saying, at a high level, in general, we are intensifying our cost-cutting measures on items such as travel and subsistence, accommodation, venues and facilities, advertising, cell phone and landline costs, and other administrative costs so that we preserve more money to go into the service delivery at the end of the day. And next slide, please. And here, Chairperson, a very critical issue is just to give an analysis of what the trend in our compensation of employees, which for some time now, National Treasury has put a ceiling as a way of reducing the cost of employees in government in general. But this is an area that has got also an impact on the service delivery, because we require the capacity for in the department to be able to deliver on the APP of the department. Now, the analysis that we are showing here is that the compensation of employees over the MTF period in this current year, it has reduced by 16%, and an amount of that reduction is 300 million. The reduction in this year. Next year, it goes down by 405 million, which represents 16% reduction on the baseline. And then it goes down in the outer year. Let me see now. It is 16 million, 22%, and in the outer year by 14%. The reduction in the outer year is 267 million. And we have done a calculation just to check what does that mean when we look at the current, the 2020-21 costs, and we projected that into the MTF, and we find that this has got an implication that of a potential overspend of 38 million in the first year, which is 2021-22, 77 million in the second year, and the third year, 98 million. We have had discussions with National Treasury on this matter as part of the risk management around this issue to look at how do we deal with it to make sure that at the end of the day, we do not find ourselves in a situation of unauthorized expenditure. And the discussions are still ongoing on the matter. We haven't finalized it, which means the risk element is still there for us. Next slide. On this slide, Chairperson, we are showing the allocation of the budget over the MTF periods per program. You would notice that the line item, which is Program 6, Environmental Programs, that's where the highest allocation goes of 3.6 billion in the year 2021-22, and that is followed by Administration, which is Program 1, and followed by Program 5, Biodiversity. That's how it goes throughout. And the fourth program is Forestry. And that trend goes throughout the three-year periods of this allocation. The next slide. In this area, Chairperson, the analysis, just what we trying to show here is that when we take the total budget for the 2021-22 financial year, you would see that 22% of that budget of the department goes to the payment for compensation of employees, while 71% goes direct into the operations. And this ratio differs from one program to the other. As the program, some programs, they are more labor intensive than the others, basically. That is the intention or the analysis on this slide, just to show the split between operations and compensation of employees. And we've done that for the just for the current financial year, which is 21-22. And I believe that kind of a trend goes throughout the MTF period. Next slide. From here, Chairperson, we analyze each program, which I'm not necessarily going to go through each program, but we can deal with questions that come on that. Main program one, just go back to the other slide. Sorry, please. Yes, just the issue to highlight here that in program one, in that 1 billion, we've got, as you can see here on line number 1.7, that about 333 million of that 1 billion goes to servicing of the office accommodation for the department nationally. And the other high item in program one is the corporate management services, which is basically where we are housing the services of payments for the STITA, for the maintenance of ICT systems of the department, and the other costs that are related to ICT in the main, just to highlight the bigger cost that sits in the operational budget for the 314 million. And then from here, Chair, we will go to the slide, I think it's number 15, if I'm not mistaken, just to highlight the allocations for public entities. Here, Chair, we're showing that in terms of the public entities, we provide funds for operations, but there's also funding for infrastructure needs of the public entities, which is over and above the funds that they generate from their own operations, the allocation by government. And we also have allocations which deals with the matters of environmental outcomes that we allocate directly to public entities under the EPWP funding that we get as a department. As you would see here, as an example for Sun Parks, we've got 287 million for operations in the 2021-22. Then we give 120 million for infrastructure, and then we have 291 million for EPWP projects which are within the national park, and the projects that are in the integrated zones, we provide 127 million. And for environmental monitors, we've got 35 million that we provide. And then for Sandy, we give 276 million for operations. And then for the National Zoological Gardens, there is an earmarked allocation of 104 million. And for infrastructure, it's 80 million. And EPWP projects in the Botanical Gardens, 76 million. For the weather services, we give 207 million for operations and for infrastructure, 140 million. Next slide. And then for Isimangaliso, for operations, we've got an amount of 83 million and infrastructure is 37 million. Just to explain on the Isimangaliso chairperson, that in the current year, which is 2021-22, due to the effect of the impact of the COVID, we've had a situation where our entity's ability to generate own revenue has been impacted largely. And Isimangaliso has made a request of to the department to move 45 million relating to infrastructure to fund the operations. This is a temporary measure to be able to be able to withstand or to be able to pay for the operations in the current year. And this phenomenon, Chair, will also apply to SANParks, that 120 million we spoke to. We've had discussions because SANParks is facing a similar challenge in terms of revenue generation because of the COVID-19 lockdown conditions and the fact that in particular the international tourists have not yet come back to the country, and that has got a huge impact on SANParks revenue. So there is the discussions we've had with SANParks. We also expect that 120 million would be taken to operations to be able to sustain them through the year. Certainly, Chair, it is very critical that we protect between ourselves and also the public entities the allocations for infrastructure, but currently we are really challenged, and as we have already said, that the budget itself in totality has been increased. So these measures are not necessarily meant to undermine infrastructure allocations, but they are just temporary interventions to be able to enable the public entities to survive this dip on the own revenue generation. In terms of the Marine Living Resources Fund, Chair, we've got an allocation of 305, which is a direct transfer to the entity to run the operations of the fisheries branch. I think, Chair, in totality, we allocate 2.2 billion to all the public entities. This must be the last slide, Chairperson, on the budget. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you very much. Thank you very much to the department and also to the DM and also to the DG. I suppose that was the last presentation. Okay.
Yes.
So, all right. So before I hand it over to the actual chairperson of the meeting, I think I forgot to, to the item of apologies, because I think that is very important to know that who has apologized into this meeting. I think I made that mistake. With your permission, chairperson, if Asuka can tell us the apologies, and also with the department if they can. Thank you. I'm handing over to you, chairperson. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Mambibi, for stepping in for me. Asuka?
Thank you, Chair. Chairperson, for today's meeting, we had Ms. Makause, Mr. Arnolds, Mr. Nana, and Mr. Nyambi. Apologies. Thank you.
And then I received a letter from the minister apologizing for today's meeting from the department. I don't know, GM, do we have any apologies except for the minister?
No, no, Chair. Thank you very much. I think all my officials are here. It's only the minister who's not here.
Okay. Thank you very much, Minister, and I mean Deputy Minister and DG for the presentation. Now I'm going to give to members to ask questions. Honorable members, feel free. This is your time. I'll do this. I'll start with Honorable Ndongeni, Honorable Laboskagni, Honorable Winnie Ngwenya, and Honorable Baby, and who else? Yes, for now. Yes. You can start, Honorable Ndongeni.
Okay, thanks, Chair. Thanks for the presentation from the department. Good afternoon, Deputy. Good afternoon, the staff of the department, honorable members, and DGs, and the crew. I'm sorry, guys, you're going to bear me. I'm the Makoti. I'm the Makoti in this committee. Maybe I'm going to do things funny, but just forgive me.
No problem. No problem.
Seventh, the department has listed its budget reduction over the MTEF in the first two slides of its budget presentation. Program two. Regulatory compliance and sector monitoring, and program five, biodiversity and conservation, receive the greatest amount of the cut. Can the department clarify how this decision was reached? Regarding program two, the department lists its corporate operational targets for the program on slide 17 of the APP presentation. Can it clarify how these targets will be met under the reduction budget? Surely budget cuts will affect travel and remuneration of staff components. The third one, can the department justify a continued presence in research projects in the Antarctic region, when budget cuts result in the reduction of critical programs locally? Why has funding been increased for all aspects of Program 3, while the responsibility of Program 2 and 5 to be attained with a reduced budget? In terms of aquaculture development under Operation Pakisa, are the jobs created in the private sector or in public sector? How does the department verify whether jobs are sustainable? Can the community receive a breakdown? Oh, sorry, not community. The committee receive a breakdown of government investment per province to date, the number of aquaculture operations in place and the jobs created in each. Over 50% of the budget allocation for South African national parks is directed at EPWP. Can the department clarify whether COVID-19 restrictions have impacted on the work opportunities in EPWP? How the budget cuts experience will impact on EPWP, whether there are not opportunities to formalize some of the employment opportunities created by EPWP, considering the size of the budget and ongoing nature of some of the projects, such as working for water and working for fire. Considering the impact of COVID-19 on domestic and international tourism, can the department clarify which national and provincial reserves are able to generate sufficient revenue to subsidize its operational costs? The second, what place the department has to support the conservation role on those reserves and parks unable to generate sufficient income under travel restriction? The last one, Chem. South Africa local government appears to be challenged by air quality monitoring requirements, while legal challenges are mounting in air quality priority areas. Is the department adequately target baseline monitoring and support for the program for? Thanks, Chairperson. I will choose the second bite if there is.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Honorable Ndongeni. The Snoma Koti, you did well. Honorable Labos Kahne.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I'm glad the Honorable did well, so I can also ask a few questions. I will start off with program one, I think. They referred to 2,790 officials trained in environmental compliance and enforcement, but that is for the whole period. The specific one for this year is 370. I just want to know, is that the compliance, the training that these people got, is it for compliance and enforcement, both those sectors? And are they only from the Department of Environmental Fisheries and Forestries, or is it broader than the department? Then the National Environmental Comprehensive Enforcement Strategy and the implementation plan thereof, I would like to know if through your chair, the shale gas regulations and the electrification grid that has been published or reviewed or in the plan, in the process, can be presented to the committee at one other stage. Then in under oceans and aquaculture, I would like to know the 1,200 opportunities or that has been mentioned there in aquaculture, what role does is there any support programs that that plays a role, and what is the role of the centrum at Gariep in the Free State that's been revamped in 2020 and millions of rands been spent on that? Does that play a role in the whole aquaculture and the support there? And then I would like to know the sector jobs resilience plans for four sectors. Can the department just give us which four sectors are they talking about? And then about the aquaculture bill, we hear a lot about it. It's been said that it will come to Parliament. We are already nearly in the half midterm, and it's still not there. When? What is the time frame for that bill? Then in the climate change program, talking about the coastal risk and vulnerability tools that four districts model, municipalities have been trained in. I, and also the environmental priorities incorporated into the IDPs of the 44 district municipalities. My question on both of these things, I think it's wonderful initiatives. I think it's necessary. My question is, do these district municipalities or local governments have the skills, the systems and the budgets to do after the training to do what they need to do? And is there any feedback, say for instance, on the IDPs, that the environmental priorities that needs to be included in the IDPs? Is there any feedback on, is it happening? Why is it happening? How is it happening? to the department. And then I want to go further on the biodiversity and conservation. Although the previous colleague mentioned that biodiversity and conservation got the bigger part of the budget in this budget, it is actually also true that biodiversity and conservation as well as climate change budget has been cut by more than half from previous years. Now, it's also saying that in the program we need to expand conservation with 5%, so that land under conservation must be 17.7%, which I agree with, and I think it's a good initiative. And mentioned two national parks, new national parks, and I would like to know where it is. But my question is, with what we heard about the national parks and the problems and the budget cuts, how viable is this? Is it really, how are the sand parks and is it missing lingo that's actually the way I look at it, being under severe strain on the, in this budget, how will they manage this? And then I just want to know more clarity on the management effectiveness tracking tool, the METT, that that is aimed to cover 67%. I would like to know what is the criteria of the type of management? Is it financial management? What kind of management does this tool track? And then on the National Wetlands Management Policy that's been developed and the 5 Ramsar sites, which I'm very excited about, I would like to know, does the department have any idea on these 5 sites that's been mentioned here, or on the this as well as the wetlands? I'm doing 2 things now. I'm now on the wetlands management policy, but also later on in the other program, or not on the other program, but talking about the rehabilitation of estuaries and wetlands, but specifically on wetlands, 100 of them. Is there any existing other applications for other activities, specifically in the Ramsar sites, and that's been declared now, or that the department is looking at now? And how, what is the process of dealing with things like that? And then I would like to know, under the 15,000 heads of game that's been given to previously disadvantaged individuals or communities, which is great. I just want to know, you know, with our experience of support to upcoming farmers, that is forever a problem. What is the kind of support in training, technical, financial? Is there any kind of support that's going along with this program, or what is the situation? I've got still a few questions, but Chairperson, maybe I'll give someone else a chance, and if there's a second chance, go around with the others, because otherwise I'm going to go on and on. Thank you.
No, you are a specialist in environment, I know, Honorable Labuskakhni. Honorable, thank you very much, Ma'am Labuskakhni. Honorable Winnie Ngwenya.
Thank you, Chairperson. And also thank you for the presentation. Chair, on SONA, during the 2020 SONA, the President pronounced that the biodiversity economy was a priority. However, the budget allocation towards biodiversity economy has been reduced by 14.1% for the 2021-2022 financial year. Chair, can the department explain whether biodiversity economy is no longer a priority or not. Second question, Chair, on performance target. Can the department explain how the huge budget cut would affect the performance of the administration program in the various sub-programs, and which operation will be affected the most? And what is the pass mark of percentage that the minister has set for the department in relation to performance towards the achievement of the annual targets? Chair, does the department have a performance improvement plan? The third question, Chair, is on fishery management. Chair, I wanted to know how much budget have been set aside for human legal ODT technology and infrastructure in allocating commercial fishing rights and the remaining small-scale fishing rights. The fourth question, Chair, is on environment program. Can the department explain the zero budget allocation to the Green Fund, and how will this budgetary move affect efforts towards moving to the green economy? Lastly, Chair, Honorable Chair, I wish to commend the Minister for releasing the report of the high level panel on the 2nd May 2021 on the review of policies and management of headline on elephant, lion, leopard, and rhinos. We are looking forward to the implementation of the recommendation of the report, and as the committee will continue to play an oversight role on that. I thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Honorable Ngwenya. Honorable Momo.
Yes, Momo.
Okay. Thank you very much, Momo. Chairperson, I've got about three questions here. The first one will be on chemical and waste management. Can the department explain whether it has any responsibility for asbestos-related activities in the 2021-22 financial year? If not, why not? Considering that replaced asbestos roof sheets constitute waste. Second question, Chairperson, will be on the regulatory compliance and sector monitoring. What are the main drivers of the significant increase in the budget allocation for the RCSM management? The last one, Chair, will be on budget for litigation, that is court cases. How does the department and entities plan to bring down the litigation cost in their focus area? Can I get an explanation on that? And could the department expatiate on that issue? Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you, Mama.
So now,
our father and our brother, Honorable Matibe, though you joined late.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and my apologies for joining the meeting a bit late. I hope my apology has been accepted, that I'll join. I think the quite a number of areas have been covered by colleagues. And let me start by welcoming presentation of the department and greetings to the Deputy Minister and your team. I'll just make comments. Firstly, on the budget, as indicated by other colleagues on regulatory compliance monitoring, biodiversity and conservation. Firstly, on regulatory, it is decreasing. And my worry is that monitoring is part of the, and compliance is one of the key performance area that the department will have to look into. And when the budget is decreasing in the MTE period, how is the department going to mitigate that so that the issue of compliance is not compromised because of the lack of budget? On biodiversity and conservation as well, for me, it's not even a budget, but just a guarantee on the area. And I would like to check, looking at biodiversity as one of the key areas that needs to create employment opportunities for people, how is the department going to mitigate that guillotine of the budget? Conservation as well, I think is one area that requires explanation from. I also noticed on the budget the decrease over the years in terms of the allocation on the compensation of employees. I'd like to understand how you're going to meet, or because it is decreasing, in that there won't be any increase in the employees' salaries. How are you going to mitigate if there are demands in terms of the increase? Otherwise, I think most of the areas have been covered. And we'll make a follow-up as and when we hear the response from the. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Papa. Anyone that I left him? Honorable Smith? Ndade Smith? Inkosi yakwamakhala kwenu.
Maybe Honorable Smith has a connection problem. I do know that he had this morning.
Okay. No, thank you very much.
I'll find out.
Okay. Let me come in. Honorable Deputy Minister. I hope you realize from this committee, there are 5 women in this committee. I just want to start with this. Can you tell us what is happening with the CEO of Sanpark? Because we have seen the news flaking around about the CEO is under suspension. My second question, it will be in your APP program, under program 7. Let me welcome the presentation, DM and DG. You stated in your APP under program 7, the department plans to create 2,000 jobs. What type of jobs are proposed and will be there sustainable? Who will be your target, the recipient of this job? Thank you.
Chairperson, it's like we can no longer hear you. Okay?
Honorable Bibi, take your meeting. Chairperson is gone.
The is meant across the province. And the deputy minister. Will they do that? Hello? Am I?
Yes, you are back. Gone, you are back now.
You were okay. Gone. You are back now.
Okay. I just want to check under the waste economy. Under the waste economy, I give you those phones that are calling. Under the waste economy master plan, will the department also be addressing an issue related to illegal waste disposal and dumping disposable nappies into our rivers and next to our roads? What operation or plans are to assist our municipalities in cleaning, preventing and managing waste from a heavy industry, mining to household waste dumping in our rivers, dams, and in the nature, natural and communities. Will the master plan create a space for innovation and entrepreneurship in reposing waste into different products? What are the plans? Am I audible? Hello?
You are audible. Yeah, we can hear you for now.
What are the plans there in to control in invasive allaying plan, such as water hygiene from draining limited to fresh water and polluting our rivers and dams? Has the department drew out of creating jobs or entrepreneurial opportunity in harvesting these invasive allaying plan to create a different sustainable product while controlling them across the country? Can the department reassure Parliament that the work under Program 5 on biodiversity and conservation won't be significantly affected by the proposed 53.9 budget reduction? Number 5, allocation to South African National Park have been significantly reduced by 77.7% compared to the previous financial year. And with the low revenue generated from these tourists due to COVID-19 this year, has the department ensured the critical operation and of the entity are not affected? What measures are in place to ensure that the continuity, such as a conservation work, reduction of or retention of the staff, and maintenance operation should be revenue from tourism not be sufficient to cover the financial shortfall? Last one. Recently, Minister, in the recent years, we have been experienced a recurrence of extreme events, most of which our entities has not been able to give our people earlier warning, such as the Toyando in KwaZulu-Natal due to limited Randa and station network coverage. As climate change is a reality, and most of SADC states really on the entities for forecast and earlier warning information. Will the 41.5% decrease in budget affected their operation? Has the department put in place to ensure that forecast and earlier warning information on this affected the communities timelessly? Now I'm going to come to this one. The donor. I just want to check with you the donor funds received by the department. Can the department inform us how the donor funds are spent? And how are they distributed across the provinces, specifically on the climate change work? The department is requested to provide more detailed information in writing in this response. What control measure and cost saving initiative will be put in place to ensure the budget reduction in program 4, 5, 6 will have minimal impact on the service delivery? Is the department working with the departmental SOE in streamlining operation to ensure that critical services are provided? The CFO is welcome to provide this answer in writing as a response, because they are too long, but they must be responded before Friday. Today is Wednesday, it's Tuesday, before Friday, so that we can do the a report. Thank you very much. I give back to you, DM.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I'm sure that my team, that is the DDGs and the DG, has noted all the questions that have been asked by members, especially those that you requested them in a written form from the CEO. From the CFO. I'm sure we will be in a position then of responding to those questions. I will give to the different DBG to respond to the question according to their line of function. But firstly, let me then respond to your first question, which then you wanted to know about what is in the social media with regard to the CEO of SANParks. We were briefed, myself and the minister, by the chairperson of SANParks board, with regard to this incident. As you could see then in the statement, that it has to do with GBV, and as all of us understand and know that issues of GBV are issues that we view very seriously as a nation. Therefore, we supported the board about the decision that they've taken by then allowing the CFO then to step aside, and the law will then take its course, and then we'll monitor then the situation. But we have trust in the board that the board will now and then try and keep us to date with regard to what is happening. There is an acting CEO that has been appointed by name of is Dr. Luthando Ziba, who is acting until such time that the CEO then complete this criminal activity that is alleged. that it has happened. Otherwise, we don't have more information more than that. But we were indeed briefed about this, but we also then depend from the board. But this is how far we can go. We can't elaborate more on this case because the case is within the police. Thank you very much, Chairperson. But what then I can do in order for us then to be able then to respond to all questions that has been asked by members of parliament, all the DDGs responsible for different areas are here. I heard that there was a lot of questions that were asked with regard to Deputy Director General Biodiversity and Conservation, which is Shonisani Munzezi. Maybe Shonisani can start, after which then we will take Nontlantla Mkhize from EP, that is Environmental Programs. And then after that, we'll take also Mamukgala. There was also questions with regard to chemicals and waste. And then they will follow. Then the last person that we'll take after everyone is going to be the CFO, which is Mr. Anoy Sejumo. Can I then give over through you to Shonisani, DDG Shonisani Munzezi, to take us through his questions with regard to BNC?
Thank you very much, Deputy Minister, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members. There are a number of questions that I will go through. The first question that was asked relates to the list of national and provincial reserves that generate their own or sufficient income, as it was asked by the Honorable Member. We do have a well-publicized list of national parks in the country that are under the management of SANParks. In that context, there are five national parks that generate income that is notable, which are Kruger National Park, Table Mountain, Kalahari, Tsitsikamma, and Ado National Parks. We operate in a system that we call a system of cross-subsidization, meaning that as the other national parks may not necessarily generate sufficient income, the others that do, in the interest of conservation and protected areas management across the board, that cross-subsidization applies. In some cases, the same applies to provinces, with the understanding that not all national parks will have the capacity to generate sufficient income, because parks have got this element of public good as well. When we talk of generating income and their economic contribution, in most cases we count what is generated through parks activities. There are other factors in economic terms that we don't factor, or in accounting terms that we don't factor, which include but not limited to the role of these parks in job creation, the role of these parks in a number of value chains associated with the operations of the parks themselves. Those figures most often don't get to be counted, because there are a lot of ecotourism and other associated activities, the provision of services, operational activities that are part of the value chain that are stimulated through the existence of these parks, that in most cases we don't express in monetary terms. Of course, there is an element of public good in that regard that also has to be taken into consideration, depending on what that national park was established for, including the provincial parks. However, we recognize that there are a number of others that may improve through a number of interventions, which we are working with provinces in that regard. I referred to the issue of rationalization. One part of it is to make sure that we unlock the economic potential of those that can generate income moving into the future. Of course, that will require a lot of capital investment for that matter, which we'll look at going forward. The second issue that was raised was around the national parks I referred to two. The one that has already been done recently within this MTSF is the square kilometer array, the Meerkat National Park. Meerkat is known for satellite and related aspects associated with the research, and therefore the 135 or 240,000 or so of land within the square kilometer array in Northern Cape has been set aside, and with an agreement that we have with the DSI, we have a National Research Council in that regard. We have designated this area as a national park. It's going to be a unique experience. So the designation may happen, and then the rest will follow as we mobilize funding for operationalization. The initial support to that could come, but a lot more may come from Fiscus and also may come from other sources as well. So we're working with SANParks and the Research Foundation, National Research Foundation, NRF, to that effect, together with the departments concerned, ourselves and DSI. There was a question on the second one that we are working on. It's in the Eastern Cape. It's within the Jotkabi district. And we are working with partners beyond government, WWF and other partners in the mobilization of funding. They are playing a critical role in that. And then we'll take that further than just the establishment, but also raising funds to support its operationalization as well with other partners. There was a question on management effectiveness tool. What does it look at? There are more than 80 indices categorized in 16 main areas of what we look at to determine management effectiveness. They range from legal issues, institutional frameworks, organizational aspects, management aspects, finance-related issues, community interface, and there are a number of them that we look at, each one weighted accordingly, and that would then provide the number that would show that there are concerns here. And we divide those areas into three different categories, those that are performing less than 33%, so we call them in the ICU, those that are in a general ward, 33 to 67%, and then those that are 67% upwards are doing well in that regard. And then we then have to focus on those that are less than in interventions and indicating what needs to be done and working with management authorities on that. On national wetlands, on wetlands of international importance, reference to Ramsar sites, we've got 27 of them. The 27th was designated 2 weeks ago in Gula. And these areas have assigned and appointed management authorities by minister who have a responsibility of looking after them. But we have a responsibility as a department working with those partners that are part of the management authority and others to make sure that any issue that threatens those areas is attended to. We've got a responsibility of reporting also internationally, and there are others who may raise issues to say we've got concerns here on these matters, and then we have to address those. So there's a monitoring program or activities, reporting, operations, and making sure that these areas improve. That's what we want beyond the them being designated. On game donation, of course, Honorable Member is correct that the post support, post donation support becomes very, very critical. I referred to number there of the biodiversity training activities, 400 biodiversity beneficiaries trained. And I said this training, most of it, if not all, is accredited. So we work with part technical support and issues that relate to that. We are taking this further with provinces to pursue funding permitting the appointment of wildlife extension support given in the manner that is intended. Pre-support will go along the infrastructure related matters, and of course this donation itself is also a form of support. But qualifying individuals or groups would go through a particular criteria to look at whether they will be able to do the bare minimum required as stipulated through the various donation policies from the donating parties being national parks, provincial parks and others, and then this program of support that we work with provinces on. The issue around the biodiversity economy, Honorable has raised this issue. Of course, biodiversity economy is still one of the three PAKISA programs in the department, highly recognized to that effect on areas of biodiversity, wildlife and ecotourism that I referred to, and then would continue to have that program implemented, including unlocking the economic potential of protected areas as part of that. There are areas that goes to wildlife economy, as I've indicated, areas on permitting for bioprospecting, the reference that we made to cultivation in different areas and the support to that effect. Some of the targets that the environmental program referred to as support would go along to advance the biodiversity economy program with the numbers that my colleague in EP had indicated earlier on. I think, Deputy Minister, those are the areas that I have captured to respond to from honorable members. Suffice to indicate that, I think I've covered the ones that I've captured without wanting to add anything else. Thank you very much, Deputy Minister, Chair, and Honourable.
Thank you very much, DDG. Chairperson?
With due respect, Chairperson, under my DM.
I can hear you now, Chair.
Yeah, I was proposing that all the questions that were asked, can you put it in writing, because I'm looking at the time and the committee still have work to do with the committee issues.
We are in your hands, Chair. Whatever way that you decide, we'll abide by that, because there was a lot of questions that were asked from different programs, so it's obvious that we'll go beyond 6 o'clock, but yes, you will guide us, Chair.
Mm. And we still have to go to another meeting, so that's why I'm saying, can they put it in writing before Friday? We get it by tomorrow is Thursday in the morning we receive them, so that we can adopt the committee report before the debate.
No, it's not a problem, Chair, because each and every DDG has noted down questions that were then falls under his or her own area of responsibility. So I think they need to work on that tonight, so that it can be sent to the DG, and then DG will make sure that you get them by tomorrow.
Okay, thank you very much, DM. And without wasting any time, can I give to you, give us your, before you leave the meeting, say something, your closing remarks, and then after that, the department, if they are released, and thank you for doing that, for presentation.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Chair, for the time that you've given to us. I think it was also very intelligent of you saying that you must take all the reports before we engage with the question and responses, because if we had taken each individual presentation and questions, we didn't even have had a chance of taking them all. But mine is just to say thank you very much. We are going to work on it tonight so that tomorrow then you get what then you requested us to do. And if maybe in our responses there are questions that would not be responded to the way we're expecting us to respond to, you will just indicate to us, and then we'll definitely do what the portfolio select committee then requiring from us. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you very much, GM. What I will do, I think members, they still have questions, and then we can incorporate those questions and send to you by tomorrow morning, so that when it comes, even my closing remarks, I'll send to you so that you can see it. Because it's a work of, your department. And yeah, we'll send you in the morning, tomorrow morning. Thank you very much. You are related to the department.
Thank you very much.
Aska?
Chairperson?
Yes, ma'am.
Sorry, can you just repeat what you've said about tomorrow morning? I didn't hear a part of that.
Oh, I said, I know some of you, you still have questions. Can you send to Aska so that tomorrow morning he sent to the department?
Thank you, Chair.
The follow-up questions, honorable members.
Agreed, Chair, we'll do that.
Aska?
Yes, we'll do that.
Thank you very much.
Yes, Chairperson.
The last item?
Chairperson, first we have to adopt the reports, the budget vote reports from last week. I sent it to all members. I just need proposing seconder on each of the reports. We'll start off with the minerals and energy report, Chair. I sent it to all members.
Okay. Members, did you receive the report on time?
Yes, we did.
Yes, it received on time.
I put in front of you the report of minerals and energy for adoption.
Chairperson, Honorable Matibe, I move that the report.
Any second? Thank you very much.
I put before
the second report.
Yes, the agriculture report. Thank you.
You also receive on time and read them.
Yes. I still, Honorable Matibe, I still move that we adopt the report on agriculture.
Thank you very much, Honorable Matibe. Any seconder?
Seconds, Chairperson.
Thank you very much. Honorable members, anything after?
The last item is the minutes, Chair. It was also circulated to everybody with the reports. I think the chairperson has lost again. What she was going to say is proposer and seconder.
Honorable members, did you receive the minutes?
Yes, Chair.
Yes, Chair, we did.
Yes, anyone who proposed for adoption?
Gwenya proposed the adoption, Chair.
Any seconder?
Ndongeni seconded.
Thank you, honorable member.
Chair, that would be...
And then what else?
That would be, let me check the reports, the minutes. That would be everything to be adopted, Chairperson. Administratively, everything has been taken care of, Chair.
Thank you very much. It comes to conclude the business of the today. Our day, it has been a long day. Thank you very much, Honorable Members. Go and rest and prepare yourself for tomorrow. Again, we are having a plenary. Thank you. This meeting is officially adjourned.
Thank you. Bye.
Thank you, Mama. Thank you, Mama. Thank you. Mama Dongeni.
Mama Dongeni. Mama Koti. You are not Mama Koti.
Mama Koti here. You are a wood of parliament. Yeah. But I see you on Facebook.